Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show this morning. My name is Bruce Dickey. Appreciate you tuning in. I do have a guest across the way today. Should be a fun show. We're going to make it as fun as we can make it. He's been here several times. We have a good time talking about what could be a terrifically dry subject, isn't it? Isn't that right, Travis?
It could be, but we try to make it fun.
We try to make it fun, try to make it interesting for people. We're talking about tort reform today, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Travis Aiken. He's the executive director of the Illinois Lawsuit Abuse Watch. You've been here a couple times before. Thanks for coming, Travis.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Glad for you to be here. What is going on? You've got new stuff going on in your life right now, don't you?
2016 is going to be a very busy year for Illinois Lawsuit Abuse Watch, and to kind of set the stage for what we anticipate coming in 2016. One of the things that the governor has identified as his top priorities with the budget, which of course I'm sure all of your listeners are well aware, we still don't have a budget.
You said with the budget. I said, what budget? What budget?
And so the governor has made lawsuit reform a part of one of his priorities at the table. And so going into 2016, you know, we're going to continue to talk about those reforms because we want to make sure that those reforms stay on the table.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if there is a deal, if there is a compromise, the governor is not going to get 100% of what he wants. The Democrats aren't going to get 100% of what they want. So we would like to have some of our reforms and some of our priorities be still on the table. So
Right. We're
going to be very aggressive in pushing that agenda this year. And we have good reason to push that agenda because there was a report that came out in December, the annual Judicial Hellholes report.
Now, I got to tell you, how do they judge one judicial hellhole versus another judicial hellhole? I mean, exactly. How do you define hellhole, for one thing?
Well, a hellhole, by definition, according to the report, is where judges systematically have a tendency to favor the plaintiffs over defendants.
Okay.
It's really what judges allow and don't allow in their courtrooms that determines what a judicial hellhole is.
Uh-huh.
And so there are jurisdictions across the state. For instance, you know, the state of California is the number one judicial hellhole in the country.
Okay.
Actually, Missouri is number four.
Really?
And what's happening there, especially in the St. Louis area, is a lot of the same law firms that are gumming up Madison County courtrooms with asbestos lawsuits are also filing cases over across the river. A lot of the same law firms are involved, and so the way I look at it is, you know, Illinois is exporting lawsuit abuse to the state of Missouri.
Well, we say, look, we got an export. That's not bad. That's pretty good, isn't it? Exporting lawyers.
Well, unfortunately, that doesn't mean there's less fewer lawsuits being filed in Illinois. Unfortunately,
I thought maybe that's what that meant. they were taking their ball game and going elsewhere.
They're still filing. You know, in fact, a third of all the asbestos litigation in the entire nation is filed in Madison County, Illinois.
That's amazing. That is amazing. So, all right. So the report comes out.
Yeah, so the report comes out where Madison County is again the fifth worst judicial hellhole in the country.
So I gotta ask. You said that California was number one and Missouri's number four, and a county is number five. Or is this the same? Are they using the same scale?
Well, it's and I think this is shows kind of the intellectual honesty of this report, because when we talk about lawsuit abuse in Illinois, we're not talking about Wayne County,
right,
or where I live in Williamson County.
We're
talking about the very specific court jurisdictions, Madison and St. Clair County. Madison is named, but St. Clair County also is.
Is a participant.
It's a participant. They're kind of tied to the hip there.
Yeah.
Cook County wasn't mentioned in the report, but Cook County continues to attract a lot of lawsuits from across the country. And while it's not as recognized as Madison and St. Clair County are, it is a jurisdiction to watch. We certainly pay a lot of attention to what's going on in Cook County, and we want to make sure that we're moving in the right direction and reforms there. I mean, for one of the biggest problems, for instance, in Cook County is you have 400 judges in that
right.
one court jurisdiction. And so there, and when people go to vote with, on in judicial elections, they might have 50, 60 judges to vote on, and they have no clue what they're voting
sure.
on. So we're trying to educate voters in Cook County, help them to take the judicial branch of government a little bit more seriously there in that county. So even though Cook County is not necessarily mentioned in the report, it's certainly a priority for us.
Tell me a little bit about the let's go back to Madison County and St. Clair County a little bit. You say that it's the number three place or one third of all the asbestos lawsuits take place in Madison County. What other is Madison and St. Clair County only a hellhole for asbestos? Or are there any other frivolous stuff that is directed toward Madison County and St. Clair County?
Oh, there's frivolous lawsuits all the time that occur in Madison County. I mean, one case that comes to mind: a woman's on a dance floor at a VA.
Strip club.
It's one of the VFW.
Oh, okay.
Local VFW in Alton, and somebody bumps into her while she's dancing. She falls, she has an injury.
Got bumped, sure.
And she files a lawsuit against the BFW for something that someone else in that establishment did. And the whole reason you do that is because in the plaintiff's mind, there's more money in suing the business and suing the organization as opposed to suing the individual. And there's cases, ridiculous cases like that that happen all the time. You look at the Madison County record. It's available online, a lot of these stories. I mean, it's just outrageous, some of the ridiculous lawsuits that are filed every single day in Madison County. And when you see what's going on there, and then you compare that to what goes on in other counties in Illinois, there's no comparison. And that's why Madison and St. Clair counties continue to be named on this judicial hellholes report that's been in existence since the early 2000s.
So now you don't name judges, or you haven't named judges. Are there, for a place to become a hellhole like this, it'd have to have some particular group or single judges that are permitting this kind of thing.
Well, actually, in the report, there are some judges that are actually named in this particular report. There one in Madison County, for instance.
I mean, Madison County can't have that many judges. If Cook County has 400, how many does Madison have? Two, three?
Oh no! I mean, there's more judges than that. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. In Madison County, a lot of their associate judges were not retained.
I see.
So the way the associate judges work in Illinois is you have the panel of elected judges,
right.
the circuit judges.
Right.
They decide who they take applicants. They narrow them down. They select the associate judges.
Right.
You serve, I believe it's 4 years as an associate judge, and you can they can either keep you on as an associate judge at the end of that term, or say bye.
Yeah. See you later.
Your services are no longer needed, and so it's somewhat rare to have circuit. You have associate judges not get another term in Madison County this past year, and in St. Clair County, I think there were eight. Don't quote me on these figures, but I think there were eight judges across the state that did not associate judges
were
that
not
did,
retained
that were not kept on.
Right.
I think five or six of those were in the Metro East in Madison and St. Clair County.
Now was that at the Was that at the vote? The voters didn't retain them at
no,
that
no,
point?
No, those are the judges.
The judges,
the circuit court.
Throwing out their own judges.
Throwing out their judges. And so there was a tremendous interest, a lot of applicants to take those vacant spots.
Sure.
One of the judges in Madison County who did become an associate judge is a woman named Jennifer Hightower. and she is a 2009 law school graduate. She's now an associate judge.
Great.
And she has spent her entire legal career working at one of the most prominent asbestos law firms in the Metro East. So
you kind of get draws you a picture.
Yeah, and that's the picture
of who is appointing judges.
Yeah, right, and that's why Madison County continues to be a judicial hellhole. What is there any confidence that a defendant, as particularly in asbestos cases, other legal matters, are going to have a fair shake with a judge whose only background is working on the plaintiff's side, and she's only been licensed to practice
for 6 years.
For 6 years. That's what we cried foul when that happened. The Judicial Hellholes Report came out and mentioned this as a reason why Madison County is a judicial hellhole. And they also cited St. Clair County, where you have three judges who normally, when you run for judge in Illinois, you get elected to a term.
Yeah, yeah.
And then your subsequent election
is a retention
election.
Right.
Well, these three judges decided they're going to resign, and then they're going to run for election. Well, the standard to run for retention is 60%.
You only have to have 50 to get elected, though.
Right.
Now that's thinking, Travis. I like that a lot.
So, and of course, they're running in St. Clair County. There's no reasonable way that any Republican challenger would ever be able to win in St. Clair County, especially in a presidential election.
Yeah.
They're kind of, I don't know that what they're doing is necessarily illegal. I think the State Board of Elections is looking into this to see if there's anything that untowardly about what they're doing.
Oh, really?
I don't
looking to see if there's anything untoward. I got you. Yeah, sure. But, let's see. I wonder.
So they are, there are some challenges taking place at with the State Board of Elections, and that's kind of being sorted out. But I mean, more than likely, they're probably going to be allowed to run because there's nothing explicitly in the Constitution preventing them from doing this. Part of the reason they don't want to stand for retention is because there's kind of a concerted effort on both sides. I mean, those of us who support legal reform, there's different political action committees who've gotten involved in retention elections. Certainly the plaintiff's bar is getting involved in retention elections. It's a much different landscape than it used to be. And so there's a lot of fear in running for retention now because there are organized efforts on both sides to try to oust certain judges.
I've got Travis Aiken here from the Illinois Lawsuit Abuse Watch. We're talking things over on the Bruce Dickey Show on WFIW AM and FM Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back here after these words.
I
Morning, folks. Welcome back to WFIW AM and FM Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. Appreciate you tuning in today as it's 9:29, 50 degrees outside. Having a fine morning. I have a guest in here on the Bruce Dickey Show this morning. I'm talking with Travis Aiken. He's the executive director of Illinois Lawsuit Abuse Watch down in. Tell me what the Illinois Lawsuit Abuse Watch does.
Yeah, we're a grassroots legal watchdog group. Our focus is on educating the public about the impact of abusive lawsuits and to also provide opportunities for people to get involved and help us change the legal system and to bring about the kind of reforms we think are needed here in Illinois to create jobs and bring Illinois back economically.
How can someone here in Wayne County, Edwards County, Hamilton, White County listening in today, how can they, what can a single person do to help to get involved and you know, try to stop some of this abuse?
Well, I mean, the first step I think people need to take is to just pay attention to what's going on. You know, a lot of public opinions, a lot of the topics of conversation are driven by what we see on the news, but they're also driven by the kinds of conversations we have with our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family members. And one simple thing that people can do to be involved is to talk about these issues
right.
And to say, hey, we've got a problem. We need to change it. A simple step that people can take is, you know, everybody is out on social media. They're
sure.
out they're watching TV. They're on Facebook while
Twitter.
They're on TV doing. And I see all the time people who are friends of mine on Facebook forwarding just frivolous content, a trailer to a movie or,
yeah.
you know, some wild, crazy news story. Somebody, you know, a news article about the affluenza team. I mean, you know, just nonsense things that really don't affect our society and our culture. Well, why not change that? Why not forward substantive content? Why not forward things that actually matter?
You don't like
go
it.
To
like
our Facebook page and forward some of the stories and news items and things that we have on our Facebook.
You don't
page.
Like getting Kim Kardashian stuff. What's the story?
Well, that's
it's got its place. Doesn't
it's got its place, but it's you know people are more likely to share that kind of ridiculous content than they are, you know, something from the iLaw Facebook page. But if people want to get involved, you know, share our content. You know, help us
What's
get the message out.
What's
our website is www.illawsuitabusewatch.org. There's links to our Facebook page there. There's links to our Twitter feed. Retweet our tweets, repost our Facebook content. And then there's also a place on our website to make a donation. Help us get our message out through paid media and other avenues so that we can help educate the public and ultimately change the laws and reform our courts here in Illinois.
Last time you were here, we were talking about there were some protests going on over in Edwardsville, right?
Right.
How'd those end up? Did they come to anything? What were the results of the protests in Edwardsville?
Well, we definitely. I remember.
Did you get arrested?
No, we did not. We did.
Doggone it!
We
you
did
were
not.
Trying and trying and trying. Was that a goal?
No, that was definitely not a goal.
No.
We went into the belly of the beast and we had a big billboard truck with a message about lawsuit abuse and
yeah.
reforming our courts.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could kind of see it, folks peeking out the windows, looking
yeah.
at us
yeah.
going, what is going on out there? And, you know, I've been there before, so they definitely know who I am.
Yeah.
And.
Edwardsville.
So
Edwardsville is
the
Madison County
seat. Resonate when we go and do those.
Edwardsville is the Madison County seat?
The Edwardsville, Madison. We also visited Belleville,
the
St. Clair County seat as well.
So you got noticed,
yes.
you think.
Yeah, we got the Belleville News Democrat came out, and they do multimedia presentations on their website, so they filmed us, and it was quite an ordeal.
No violence, I guess.
No. I mean,
Just check.
And again, you know, this isn't personal. I mean, these are serious issues. We all have different point of views. I happen to have a certain point of view. I'm not going to apologize for that.
Sure.
It is. I'm very transparent in how I think about lawsuit reform and what I think needs to be done. And I'm all about having a good, honest discussion about these issues.
All right. Every time you're here, we have the frivolous lawsuits. Did you say you had a list of 10 of them?
Oh, yeah. So the Institute for Legal Reform at the end of the year came out with their, you know, kind of top 10 list of some of the most ridiculous.
Let's do a few on the bottom part of the top 10, and then whenever we come back after the next break, we'll do some of the other ones toward the top 10.
Okay. All right. Sounds good to me.
What you got? What's
okay,
what's your...
so one near the bottom is actually kind of local. I'm sure many of your listeners have gone to Lambert's Cafe in Sykeston,
yeah.
Missouri.
I've been there one time myself. I probably won't go back.
But... And what is Lambert's known for?
Throwed rolls. Not thrown rolls. Throwed rolls.
Yeah. It's on their sign. It's in their marketing. You pull into the parking lot. There's a picture.
Sure.
You know, so when you walk in there, there's no doubt that you're going to have rolls thrown at you.
I believe the term is probably called reasonable expectation.
Right. I mean, and just in case you can't read, there's actually a picture throwing rolls on the sign. So you really have no excuse.
So if you walk in there and you sit there for 5 minutes, you're probably going to see.
You're going to witness some roll throwing. So a woman filed a lawsuit against Lambert's. She was hit. I guess it hit the corner of her eye or something, and so she filed a big time lawsuit, $50,000 lawsuit against the against Lambert's for getting hit with a roll.
Getting hit with a roll. Did she get damage?
Well, I mean, they have. I'm sure that case will more than likely be settled. I think it's still ongoing, but it's doubtful that she's going to get everything she asked for.
I didn't know if it was still ongoing or not. It is. That's one of them you think is still going?
I haven't seen any news reports about what, you know, that doesn't mean.
Well, you know, that's the thing.
That's the thing,
Travis. Though, if they settle, there may be a news report that it's settled, but they're not going to disclose terms, I wouldn't think.
Maybe not. But it's not the first time Lambert's has been sued. But it's just one of those things. I mean,
oh, so this wasn't the first time?
No, I mean they've had lawsuits similar to that.
Oh, is that right?
In the past? Well, yeah. I mean,
I didn't know. I mean, they've continued to throw rolls.
But, you know, on the serious side, you know, when we have these discussions about these ridiculous lawsuits that are kind of humorous and funny, and we joke about them, but on the serious side, these lawsuits happen all the time. It's just part of the culture that we live in, where people just file lawsuits left and right, and you know, the end result is less opportunities for people for the rest of us to enjoy.
Catching a roll, the
good thing. Yeah, it's you go to Lambert's. You're going to get a home cooked meal. You're going to get
chicken fried steak.
Country cooking.
A little bit of grease.
A little bit of grease. Which by the way, you know, a lot of people, New Year's resolutions. They're, you know, I need to lose weight. I need to do that. My New Year's resolution is very attainable. I want to eat more greasy food for 2016. I've already kept that New Year's resolution pretty good.
That's a great idea. Able to keep a New Year's resolution. That's wonderful. Right. That's wonderful. All right, what else you got there on the bottom half of the top 10?
So one lawsuit that I'm actually going to read some of the coverage of this. This is a situation where in New York there was a gas explosion.
Okay.
And these two women lived in an apartment several blocks away, so they weren't in the immediate line of fire and in fact, when they were talking, one of the women said she got like 5 or 6 scratches.
Is that what she said?
That's a quote in the news story. Like 5 or 6 scratches.
Okay.
And then the other woman, who's also involved,
from?
from debris. They went outside the apartment to, you know, because, you know, you hear an explosion. You're, what's going on, you know? So they went outside to check it out, outside their apartment building, and, you know, some floating debris came by, scratched her like five or six times. And then the other woman had no physical damage whatsoever, but she's in therapy right now because of the trauma. And so they filed a $40 million lawsuit over this explosion.
As co-defendants or co-plaintiffs, I guess. Oh, my gosh. You got to be kidding me. I hope the scratches have healed. $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I'll grant you, a gas company is liable for something, sure. But $40 million for something like that, that's a business shutdown. That shuts down a business.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, most of these cases are going to get thrown out somewhere along the line. A judge is going to be an adult and say, you have no case. It's done. You know, we're not talking about this anymore. But it still takes time. And if you're a small business owner, you don't have a huge HR department. You don't have, you know, a stable full of lawyers on retainer to help with these matters. So that's time away from your business. It's time away from being productive and making money and paying your bills and doing all the things that a small business owner should be doing.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a very a stressful situation for business owners.
Absolutely.
And so when it does finally get thrown out, you've ended up spending a lot of money to make it go away, and that time away from your business means, you know, you're losing money as well, because you have to be working in your business for it to grow. And if you're distracted with a lawsuit, that's time lost that you're never going to get back.
Oh, sure, you're done.
Right.
I've got Travis Aiken here with the Illinois Lawsuit Abuse Watch. He's the executive director down there. We're talking about frivolous lawsuits. We'll talk a little bit more about some of those. And also maybe touch on the St. Louis Cardinals when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show on WFIW AM 1390 and 104.9 FM. Back in a sec.
Bessie was a lovely child from West Tennessee. Leroy was an outlaw, hard-eyed and mean. One day she saw him staring and it chilled her to the bone. And she knew she had to see that look on a child of her own. 'Cause ladies love outlaws like babies love stray dogs. Ladies touch babies like a banker touches gold. Outlaws touch ladies somewhere deep down in their soul. Linda was a lady, blonde and built to last. Billy was a no-good guitar picker running from his past. She heard all his songs telling nothing but bad news. But she made her mind up to try to get him, win or lose.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM. Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. My name is Bruce Dickey. I have a guest across the way. We've been talking about some frivolous lawsuits. I've got Travis Aiken. He's the executive director of the Illinois Lawsuit Abuse Watch. And you know, you started, that one was in the top 10. That wasn't even in the top 5 of frivolous lawsuits. With them about people who were 5 blocks away from a gas explosion and sued for $40 million. That's amazing. So there are worse than that.
There are some that are worse than that. One that's closer to the top of the list is, again, from New York. Uh-huh. Which, you know, New York is on the judicial hellhole.
I figure, where does New York stand on the hellhole list?
I believe, number 2 on the list,
right.
behind California.
Okay.
So they're way up there. And This particular case involves a woman who was at a birthday party for her nephew.
Okay.
You may have heard about this.
I'm not sure.
This case.
Oh, I think I did. Yeah.
So
ahead.
The boy was just really excited to see his aunt.
Yeah.
And he comes running in and, you know, kind of jumps into her arms and gives her a big old bear hug.
Right.
You know, no harm intended there. Just, you know, I'm
Aunt Sally's.
Yeah. She's here. I'm happy. I'm excited.
Sure.
It's my birthday
sure.
party. She falls down and breaks her wrist.
Oh, bummer.
And so and she, you know, was describing the pain of being there at the party. She, you know, she was having trouble holding her hors d'oeuvre plate.
Okay.
I mean, the really traumatic experience here. And so she filed.
Hey, that's a bad deal, man. If you can't hold your plate, what are you going to do? You've got to have to. You've got to have. How do people? I don't know how people with only one arm do it. I mean, at a cocktail party, you got to have a hand for the plate, then you got to eat with the other hand, or and then hold your drink at the same time.
Well,
I can see the woman. I
understand that, but I also have a friend who had was in a motorcycle accident when he was younger, lost complete use of his left arm.
Okay.
In that accident, it's just there. I mean, he really can't do much of anything with it. He's a professional photographer. He built his own house.
Oh my gosh!
All with one arm. He could do more with his hobby is woodworking and making cabinets. I mean, he has more talent and more ability with one arm than most people do with two arms.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking.
So the lady holding the hors d'oeuvre.
I think she could find a way to get around that. But so she filed a $127,000 lawsuit against her nephew.
How old was the nephew?
8 years old at the time. Now, you know, to put this in perspective. Now, it just got dismissed this year. Finally, got over. But the incident occurred 4 years ago.
So the kid's 12 now.
So,
I bet you those are some fun family reunions at Christmas.
the news article that reported this said, you know, they may find a settlement outside of court, may reach an agreement, but one thing they won't be doing is hugging it out.
I bet that's right. I like that. That's pretty good. That's good. I like that. What else you got? Any more of those?
Well, I did want to touch briefly on one other thing that we're going to be talking about a lot this year, and that is personal injury lawyer advertising.
Okay.
In 2015, personal injury law firms across the country are spent $75 million a month, or $890 million expected.
I got to tell you, you're talking to an advertising for it.
As you should be. As you should be. And the message I have is not, you know, lawyers shouldn't advertise. Absolutely, they should advertise.
Sure.
But I want to caution people when they hear these ads and when they see what's being presented, especially when you're watching TV and you see these ads about, you know, prescription medication, and you think you're going to die if you take this medication. Well, you know, doctors need to be the ones involved in those situations.
Right.
Don't let a lawyer be your doctor. Just be mindful of just the sheer amount of money that's being spent. It's designed to try to increase litigation. They're out there trying to find plaintiffs in lawsuits, and just keep that in mind. And when you're looking at these ads, and recognize that, you know, if you have a medical issue, especially if you're taking a certain prescription that you see has all these issues, go and talk to your doctor. Don't just stop taking that medication cold turkey.
There's a
study that just came out that kind of highlights, you know, they did a survey of people and said, if you were taking a prescription and you saw an ad that showed all these issues with that prescription drugs, would you be more or less likely to stop taking the medication? And, you know, a big majority of people said, oh, yeah, that would influencing them to stop taking the medication.
You know, I got to tell you, I'd never really thought of that. Never really considered But I do pay attention whenever those commercials. I'm just the general schmo on the road. I do pay attention whenever I see one of those commercials come on TV to see what drugs they're talking about, and to see if I'm actually on one of those drugs.
Well, yeah, because you want to make, you know,
Xarelto or something like that. I hate to name any of the drugs.
It's relevant in case we get sued. To you and your personal health. We're all concerned about our health, and we all want to make smart choices with our health. But those choices should be made between you and your doctor.
That's good.
And you should also get second, third opinions on things. Because look, let's face it, if you have a health issue and the doctor says, you know, I can give you this complicated surgery that has a certain amount of risk to it. Something bad could happen in that, or I can give you a pill. Most people are going to take the pill. Most people are going to take the pill.
Sure.
You have to weigh all the options, and you know, every human being is different. You know, some people can eat shellfish. Some people can't.
Right.
Some people can eat peanuts. Some people can't. I mean, some people can die by eating a peanut.
Did you watch 60 Minutes the other night, last Sunday night or two Sundays ago? I don't know. The one about the Italian agri-food mafia. It was an olive oil thing.
Okay.
These people, I guess, in Italy, where most, you know, 90% of the world's olive oil comes from Italy, or some amount. The mafia has gotten involved, and they're pouring like sunflower oil into olive oil, and they're pouring other like vegetable oils into olive oil to try to to make it cheaper,
right?
But they're selling it as olive oil.
I'm
sitting there watching that, and I'm sitting there thinking, that's no big deal. But, you know, they might also be throwing peanut oil in there. And if that gets to set to somebody who's, you know, got a peanut oil, a peanut allergy, they're dead. I mean, that kind of thing. That just brought that to mind. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, and those kinds of things are definitely should be dealt with.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the courts, because that's dishonest.
Yeah.
For sure. And pharmaceutical companies are required to disclose any kind of side effects and the risks and all that. But there's risks in not taking the medicine. There's risks in taking the medicine. The message I'm delivering is consult your doctor.
Yeah.
So do we have a minute to talk a little baseball? I got a quick.
You got 4 minutes.
I got a quick story for you.
Tell me.
So I was on a radio station in Quincy, and I was talking about one of a legislator there who's kind of been a strong supporter of lawsuit issues, and I was talking about him, and I had just watched a special on the Major League Baseball channel on some of the top moments in baseball history.
Okay.
Of course, they had that Game 6, David Freese, hitting the home run, all that. That was one of the top moments in baseball history. So I just watched that. So the next day, the legislator there is named Randy Freese.
Oh, really? Okay.
Is his name, State Rep Randy Freese. So I was talking about State Rep Randy Freese, except I said David Freese. Because I had baseball. The off season is way too long for me.
Pitchers and catchers report about 30 days.
I know, and I'm totally excited. So do you think that the Cardinals need to sign another bat?
Alex Rios just got signed. The guy from Kansas City just re-signed with Kansas City. That was who I was kind of hoping for at this point, that they were going to be able to load up with. Personally, I feel relatively comfortable. Let's put it this way. I feel relatively comfortable going into a season with an outfield of Holiday, Grichuk, and Piscotty, with Matt Adams and Brandon Moss being thrown into the mix. Oh, well, not Moss as much. But the thing is, they've lost all their depth. And they've got Tommy Pham still. And he might end up being in starting lineup as a center field anyway. Put Grichuk over in the left. Who knows? But Grichuk's injury prone at this point. But he can hit. I love his hit. I love his bat.
He's definitely a big bat.
And I love Piscotty's bat. And Pham played great at the end of the year. But asking my opinion, I think we can get by If only because the only people left are who? Chris Davis? Or who's still left out there?
There's still quite a few.
Chris Davis signed with Milwaukee. They still got – who's the Baltimore Chris Davis hasn't signed anywhere, right?
But he's first base, right?
Yeah.
So they've got options. I just – to me, I think looking at, you know, free agents available next year versus free agents available this year, there's a lot more options, a lot more flexibility in this year than there will be next year. So Mozeliak has
at this point
indicated he doesn't want to trade.
And
so sign somebody.
At this point, where would he get a bat, though? Who's left?
Well, you've still got Cespedes.
Cespedes is left.
Is out there.
Cespedes.
Has Upton signed? He's still out there.
Can you imagine an outfield with Cespedes and Holiday in the same one? Center field would be pretty busy.
Yeah, but...
How about pitching? So do they have enough starting pitching?
I'm comfortable with what.
Are you with okay?
I'm comfortable with. Obviously, I'd rather have David Price than Mike Leake, but I'm okay with the Mike Leake signing.
They needed the innings.
They needed the innings. They needed the depth, and I'm also happy with the bullpen configuration. I think we're going to see some of our young guys like Marco Gonzalez and others in the bullpen this year, and I think that's going to be fantastic.
We'll all know in about, 75 days or 80 days from now.
I'm excited.
I just can't wait either. That's something that I look forward to every year. Travis, thanks again for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you coming in. That's Travis Aiken. He's the executive director of Illinois Lawsuit Abuse Watch. Look him up on Facebook. You can probably find him. Google him. You'll find something. Twitter, Facebook, whatever. That's Bruce Dickey Show for today. Thanks a lot for listening, folks. We'll talk to y'all next week. I've got State Senator Kyle McCarter on Monday, so listen in then. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.